Thanks for listening to AppleNet, your weekly source of Apple news. This is Sam Reyes. Hey everybody, it's Sam. Sorry it's been a while. A lot of stuff's been going on recently, and I've been catching up on the podcast. Obviously, it hasn't been working. No, I am not pod-fading, just want you guys to know that. But I just have been taking a long break and forgot to tell you guys about that. So, let me get some Apple news right now. So, our first story is going to be... possible iPhone date, Office 2008, and Apple TV USB hack. This was written by Aidan Malley. An AT&T representative raised the first hint of the specific launch date for the iPhone. Simultaneously, two pieces of software under testing in the Apple community, one an important hack for the Apple TV, and another the highly sought-after Office 2008. iPhone release date rumors spread like wildfire. News.com's Declan McCollin rejuvenated the iPhone frenzy on Friday by claiming late the night before AT&T had confirmed June 11th as the Apple gadget's official launch date. The journalist cited a customer service manager from the cellular giant sales department as a source of the claim. The date would be otherwise dismissible if not for its fitting perfectly with the start of Apple's WWDC Developer Expo, which begins the same day and will most likely see Steve Jobs provide an opening keynote that would mention a ship date. The conference rarely touches on consumer products, however, readers should know that sales agents are rarely provided with these details months ahead of the projected release dates. Apple has only set the iPhone's launch for some time in June. Apple TV's USB port exploited. Yet another safeguard of Apple's TV media hub was compromised this week when hackers published info providing that they have circumvented restrictions on the lone USB port for the device. Cracking the protections opened up one of the last obstacles to complete across the hub's features, where the USB connector is the only recognized by Apple as a service tool. The new freed version makes possible keyboards, mice, and other input devices that bring Apple TV closer to its computer-like origins than the Apple remote. The disclosure of its third major exploit following the Mac software installs and booting from different hardware. So basically, we're not sure if the iPhone's going to be June 11th or not. We're still not sure. But it doesn't. This guy who from News.com, he does not sound like he's actually saying this happened. He's saying a customer service manager. Now, I talked to people before Macworld at stores, which is right around the same level as a customer service manager, and I got the person asking me, I could have said that, and I mean, you have to have a live recording to say that really happened. I don't believe this guy at all. I think this is a big bunch of bullshit right now. Now, on the actual Mac USB port, basically here they're saying that they're making it closer to computers. Basically, they're making it possible to use keyboards and mice instead of the actual Apple remote. And I just want you guys to know, I bought the Apple TV. I ordered it way back in February. And basically, it shipped when Vista 2.0 was expected to come out. It took them forever. I've gotten it, and I bought a second one just recently. I just ordered another one, and it should be coming in the mail tomorrow, or not tomorrow, actually, Monday. And it should definitely, I'm going to do the hack on it. I'm going to see how it works. I'm a pretty big, I like doing hacks on things, so I'm going to see how it works. Actually, my first one I got free from a friend because we played a big poker game and I won. So I get a second one that I actually had to buy. So that's how it's going to go. Office 2008 reaches beta stage. Microsoft has revealed on Friday through an interview that its Office 2008 suite had entered the beta phase, moving the productivity software one step closer to completion. "We're in private betas right now," said Microsoft Mac Business Unit Market Exec Sheridan Jones. The development staff was unwilling to predict if or when the software might be open to the public, but it reiterated the importance of the ribbon-like user face revealed first at the Macworld San Francisco that seeks to avoid dependence on menus, also highlighting the advanced Etcher visual engine, which helps improve page layouts. "Part of our mission with Office 08 is to expose all things that are already there and make the product easier to use." This is the big thing. This is what made Office 2007 a complete and total... Well, this is what made Office 2003 a complete and total failure. The problem is that Microsoft and Mac are different for a reason. Microsoft makes things extremely hard to find, where Mac makes it a little bit more accessible. And that's the thing. Office 2003 was extremely hard to find things because of the fact that you could not find where things were. And so when Vista was coming out, they decided to get in support groups, and they would say, there'd be a support group for Word, Excel, PowerPoint, all those things, Access, whatever you think there was in Office, they had the support group. And they said, "What do you want in Word?" And people say, "Well, I want blah, 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 blah." And they say, "Yeah, but we already have that." And then the people who were being asked said, "No, you don't." And it was this battle back and forth that, yes, they had it, and they could show it to them, but they never knew it was there. That's the complexity part of Microsoft's programs that they write, is that you cannot understand where things are unless Microsoft changes it itself. And so that was the point of Vista in Office 07, was to make things more accessible. Apple Store Rome, first photos appear. Basically, Apple on Friday held a special preview event to showcase Apple Store Roma Est, the Mac Maker's first self-run store in Italy, and as well as in mainland Europe as a whole. This is pretty big. It's cool. The store grand opening is today, 9 a.m. local time, which has already happened, which is pretty sweet. So that's something cool to deal with. That's cool. Apple Store Rome. That's pretty sweet. All right. Our next story is really cool, and I'm really glad. I did buy Vista, as I told you guys. I bought Vista on my... I got a new laptop and computer. And then I also bought a Sony Vaio, like, TV screen computer that I was trying out for testing. Because my friend wanted to buy... He bought it, and I tried it out. So, it's a good operating system. I like it. Apple thrives under Vista onslaught, steady on iPods. An expert at Morgan Stanley has reasoned that all of the major computer makers in play during the release of An expert at Morgan Stanley has reasoned that all of the major computer makers in play during the release of Windows Vista, the only one avoid taking a hit in sales was the company that chose not to run the software at all, Apple. In a research note issued to investors, Morgan Stanley analyst Catherine Huberty advised readers that Apple was the healthiest PC vendor during the first 2 months of the new year, seeing virtually no damage to its rapid growth compared to Windows-using rivals. Apple is the only vendor that appears to be unscathed by the Vista transition, Huberty said. Most of the system builders predictably suffered on the combination of both the post-holiday season slump and the wait for Microsoft's long-delayed OS. Buyers at retail and smaller-scale businesses repeatedly showed hesitation in buying a new Windows PC throughout most of January, knowing that Vista loomed near. Companies such as Lenovo were especially hurt, seeing a virtually flat 3% growth from 1 year compared to the next, compared to a much healthier 29% during the same period in 2006. Even current industry champion Hewlett-Packard saw a slight dip, according to the note. But virtually every vendor of Windows PC depended on the Vista related sales surge in February to make up for the first month. Apple continued to march forward, seemingly untouched by Vista's presence. The number of Macs shipped to the same business and retail buyers grew 71% year-over-year in January, and nearly identical 72% in February. Apple took an 8% share of this particular market, compared to 6% a year ago, so a 2% growth. That's a great thing for Apple. Boding especially well for its still modestly sized Mac maker in the face of resurgent competition. Some assumed the company would lose ground to Vista, as it had with prior prior Windows updates. A consistently strong showing was also the hallmark of California's firm's other core business, the iPod. Apple showed no signs of letting go of its now well-entrenched market share, holding over 73% of the music player sales through early part of the year, and growing 30% between the same 2 months in 2006 and 2007. Would-be challengers had to largely be content with taking each other's businesses, the report noted. The combined effect was to position Apple as one of the strongest computer companies heading into the spring, pulling ahead not only of the 23% average jump in the PC sales during the 12-month span, but also having an extremely resilient digital media player that boosts its finances. Huberty was clearly impressed by the outlook of the company's short-term future. Continued Mac momentum and strong double-digit iPod growth gives us confidence that Apple will beat expectations in the March quarter, she said. Basically, this is great because not only the iPod is being the hammer in the way for Apple, but also, basically, it's also a great way because Vista was a horrible, horrible failure for Microsoft, and hopefully Vienna doesn't come out soon enough. And we hope that Vienna is as bad as Vista and takes as long as Vista. I mean, Vienna's been in progress for how long and still hasn't come out, but we're hoping that Vienna even takes longer so that Mac sales can go up and Leopard can come out and we can sell more Macs. That's the best thing. The business of Apple is still resurging. Alright, now we're kind of going on to more consumer stuff. Apple offers iTunes shoppers Complete My Album service, and I just got this today. I bought a song from 2002 that I really liked a while ago, and I finally found out what the song was, and I clicked on the CD to find out when it came out, and I saw that. Apple on Friday began offering iTunes Store customers a new service called Complete My Album that allows them to turn their individual tracks into a complete album at a reduced price by giving them a full 99-cent credit for every track they had previously purchased from that album. Pretty much self-explanatory, don't really need to know a lot about that one. I don't think I really need to tell you much about this. You guys can check it out on your own. It's pretty sweet. They have some stuff on the Apple website. I used Sony's whatever that was called, I can't even remember now, Kinect. It was alright, but I really like iTunes. It's a great, great thing for me. I use it a lot, and I think it's way better than Kinect ever was. I used to use Kazaa, which was horrible. File sharing, I hate it. I officially hate file sharing. But, this is a great service because at one time, yes, I did buy a whole album, including the song I already bought. I mean, it's just how it works. Next, this is our second to last story, and then our last story is going to be something that we've already kind of gone over in the show. Apple, Dell, and Sony named to Bluetooth patent suit. Apple, Dell, and Sony and five other technology companies were recently added to a lawsuit over Bluetooth patents, threatening the use of the wireless communication standard in millions of devices, Bloomberg is reporting. According to the financial news network, Washington Research Foundation is accusing the companies of infringing on four patents covering technology that lets users exchange data among mobile phones, personal computers, and other devices without using cables. The nonprofit organization, which sued Matsushita, Samsung, and Nokia in Seattle federal court back in December, tacked on the PC manufacturers earlier this month. At the same time, Logitech, Motorola, Sony Ericsson, Toshiba, Plantronics were also named to the suit. Now, I remember Bluetooth being a patent of Motorola. I want to check that out, though. I want to see. WRF's complaint is said to be specifically targeting the products that contain chips made by CSR, which reportedly CFR PLC, which is reported to be using Bluetooth technology without permission. Chip makers such as Broadcom, which hold a license from the foundation, will not be named in the suit, Bloomberg said. So basically, they're just saying the chips, and the problem is that these people buy the chips. I don't know, this sounds like, I don't know, I'm kind of mad about this. Because, I mean, the Bluetooth chips, I want to know what they're infringing. They're not saying what it's done. They don't say what they're doing wrong, per se. Basically, they're saying that it just goes against the patent of Bluetooth. It's not their patent. I mean, I have no idea what they're trying to say. But they're also saying Motorola. So I want to check out if Motorola really did develop the Bluetooth chip. I want to check it out. I'll find out for you guys, and I'll tell you maybe on the next show. Alright, and our last story, which I've already talked about, was basically a lot about the Apple TV. Well, this is what I'm going to do. This is from appletvhacks.net, and it is Mac OS X running on Apple TV. In collaboration with appletvhacks.net, Hackintosh.org, in collaboration with appletvhacks.net, has done it again. A complete replacement of the Mac OS X kernel has been built, which allows the full version of Mac OS X to be run on an Apple TV. SemethX wrote a processor emulation for the kernel to sidestep the hardware restrictions that previously disallowed Mac OS X from running on the Apple TV. AppleTVHacks.net was only too happy to help them out. And when it turned out we needed more testers, we launched a competition to get some. Within hours, we had hundreds of eager Apple TV hackers submitting entries. Several hours of testing and refining later, our tester, Glimmy, managed to follow the steps included below to get Mac OS X booting on this Apple TV. So basically what they did is, they did a lot of different, they had a video on YouTube, which they now have on Google Video. And so you guys can basically check it out. What they say is the process on how to install it is you remove the drive from the Apple TV, back up your drive. Basically, they have like a whole hard drive upgrade tutorial to help you out. Connect the drive to a regular Mac. Use FireWire or USB drive dock. Install OS X, the Intel version. They suggested a no printer drivers, none of the drivers on there. So, like, if you guys take off all of your drivers and then reinstall all of your drivers on your computer. Then boot from this drive and set it up as you like it. Make sure you do updates so it is at least 10.4.8. Reboot your normal OS X install. And, okay, you have your fresh OS X install, which will form the base of the customized OS X you will need for the Apple TV. Remove MACH_kernel from the root of the drive containing the ATV install. Replace it with customized MACH_kernel that you'll find on Hackintosh.org. Then they basically have a lot of other stuff that you continue on doing. And, I've just done this, I'm doing this right now, and it is awesome. It's a lot of fun. I did it, and it actually is working right now, and I'm not podcasting from it, because it's kind of hard, and I just plugged in my mouse and keyboard this morning, and so it's really working really well. That was our last story, but that was basically the Apple TV hack, which is really cool. Lastly is Skype. Recently, guys, I just signed on with Skype for Apple TV. I've been waiting for a while, and then also before I talk about Skype, I just found out that the Beatles and EMI, Sony EMI, are going to be talking about the Beatles for iTunes U. Supposedly, there's a big announcement from Apple and EMI, so it looks like it's going to be the Beatles, because there's the only thing that could explain the reason for the Apple versus Apple case recently. So that's just the last bit of information I want to tell you guys. Nextly, I have no idea when the next post will be. I'm going to guess maybe sometime at the end of this week I might post again. So please check by the website. iTunes users, same as you. Now, if you guys want to find any of the stuff that I had on the show today, visit the website, applenet.podbean.com. Now, I was talking about Skype. I just started using Skype. I don't have either Skype in or out, so I can only contact Skype users. If you ever want to contact me, send an email to... applenetter@gmail.com. That's applenet, and then E-R after that, no space, @gmail.com. That's where you can send an email. Just tell me, I'd like to Skype you and talk. And there's a possibility you might even be on the show, just kind of with a short conversation of us. That's the email you can send to me. Or if you possibly just find me on, and I'm on Skype already, like right now I'm signed on. Basically, I am Skype Applenet. That's my username, so it's Skype Applenet. That's the name. And you can just go ahead and we can talk. Whatever you want to talk about. I don't know what you want to talk about with me, but you can find out all sorts of news. I just learned, I have family in Fresno, California, and they just got an Apple store, and this is weird. I never, ever knew about it until now, because it was in their paper, and I'm down here in Fresno, and I was just reading their newspaper, and they get one. So, it's going to open this summer, which is cool, because I come down here really a lot. Like, sometimes I even record in Fresno. So that's really cool. It was released when they had the Sydney one that I had also talked to you guys about. But I found out that the Apple Store is indoors. Too bad. I was hoping for a glass one here in Fresno. That'd be pretty cool. Besides that, guys, just have an awesome week. I'm probably going to have another show. So if you guys want to talk to me on Skype, Skype AppleNet. Visit the website at applenet.podbean.com. Or send me an email at applenetter@gmail.com. See ya. Bye-bye.